Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, August 31st, and Danny, no more August for you this year.
Nope.
Are you okay with that?
I'm not okay with the fact that you didn't bring mimosas.
Oh, God, you're right. Mm-hmm. Another brain fart.
I knew you weren't going to remember.
Why didn't you text me?
Because I shouldn't have to.
Yes, you should.
No, you remembered all on your own
but
the first
reminding,
time.
But reminding people is okay. You know why I remembered the last time is because I went to the store the night before, and then I remembered because I saw the bottles. Mm. But you got to know, I'm very forgetful. You know?
Yeah, I know.
I didn't even remember until you told me. Now, it's not like I remembered on the way.
I'm just giving you shit. I have
Thank
to
you
train
very
after
much.
This anyway, so I wouldn't have
Yeah, I know,
me.
And I don't like drinking that early in the morning.
But
I'm
everybody
drinker,
else does. It's not about you. It's about everybody else.
Oh, okay. You mean you?
No. Would you guys have drank mimosas? Their mics are off. But they would have.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. If you're on audio and you want to see us, we have two beautiful guests in the studio. We're on Facebook Live today. You can go to LA Talk Radio's page and see us there. And in our greatest beauty and glow. Indeed. What about you? Are you glowing this morning?
No, definitely.
Why?
I got a lot of sleep, though. I feel good.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Don't you feel it's warm here today? It's not cold anymore, right?
In the office?
Yeah.
No, it was cold when I first walked in.
Really?
I just get adjusted quickly.
I'm getting warm. I don't know what it is because they fixed it. Now it's not as cold
as
it was.
Yeah, it was freezing
They
before.
Can't get it in the, you know, right. Mm-hmm. They can't get it right. I don't know what the hell is wrong with people, but there you go. And so we're going to get to our guests in just a moment. We're going to talk about their film and everything. It looks awesome. I saw a little bit of the trailer. And we always have good filmmakers here when they do come. So there you go. So, Danny, any plans for the weekend?
I might go to Vegas.
Oh, you might?
Yeah.
Why? For the work or
for
just
work,
to enjoy?
Yeah, for work.
Really? So
yeah,
it's
it won't
happening?
Be a pleasure trip.
Why?
Because I don't know anyone that's going to Vegas this weekend. I'd literally be flying out by myself and flying back.
Oh.
And I'm flying because driving literally right now says like 6 hours and 10 minutes.
Really?
So you got to add like 2 hours to that. Like I'm not going to be on the road for 16 hours.
Yeah. No. You drive because it's a holiday. Mm-hmm. Everybody's driving.
Exactly.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
But like there's a lot of flights that are sold out. Like JetBlue has no flights left.
I'm sure. Wow.
But I don't want to go to like tomorrow night.
Yeah. It's very last minute. But yeah, driving to Vegas in the traffic, my God.
Can you imagine coming back on Monday, though?
Yeah, it's even worse.
Yeah, no. I don't want to do that. I just want to like pop in, pop out. Plus, the flights is an hour and 12 minutes. It's really only 45.
Yeah, and plus they pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. So it worked out for you. Yeah. I'm glad to hear.
Well,
you're
hopefully.
You're not happy about it. Yeah. You don't seem to be very happy.
I mean, I'll make the best out of whatever situation. On my downtime, I'll be able to chill.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to work, you know. Don't look at it as like you have to be entertained all the time. What is this here? You got to work sometimes,
I was like, can
too.
You put me in the Wynn Hotel? And she was like, no. I was like, damn it. Because there's like Encore Beach Club there.
Yeah.
I just party by myself on my downtime.
But you can go there anyway, right? You don't have to stay in the hotel
no,
to go to
easier,
the party.
It's easier, you know?
Meh.
She said she wanted to put me in the Hilton. I said, I'm not staying in the Hilton.
The Hilton's not nice anymore, huh?
No, it's $89 a night, which means that you're leaving with bed bugs for sure.
It used to be the hottest hotel in Vegas, but that was 40 years ago.
Yeah, no. It's not even on the Strip anymore, I don't think.
Mm. It never was.
Okay, yeah. I was like, you're not going to put me in a hotel that's not on the Strip and I'm not getting bed bugs. It's not happening. So I said the Wynn. She was like, it's out of our budget. I go, okay, I'll do the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
Because it's not that bad.
No.
So she gave you that? And I've stayed there before.
Yeah.
Actually, I stayed there the last time I went to Vegas when I was 24.
Really?
Yeah, it was the weekend before Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So we booked like regular rooms, but then they... advanced us or upgraded us to the presidential suite because it was our birthday.
Ah,
I've never
nice.
Experienced anything like that.
I'm sure. Wow.
It was so nice.
Wow. Did you guys party hard?
I like didn't want to leave the hotel room. It was so nice.
Sure.
But you know, there was a pool party at the Mandalay Bay. So we would like drink all day there. And I just didn't have the energy to go out at night. I was like, I don't know how people do this for like more than 2 days.
Right. No, I mean, Vegas, I can't take more than 2 days. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Aretha Franklin's funeral was yesterday.
Wasn't it today?
Did you know that? Is it today?
I think it's today.
Oh, you sure? Well, maybe
I'm pretty
today.
Sure it's happening right now.
Mm, okay.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I keep seeing clips of people
singing.
No, you're
singing probably right.
Yeah,
you're
I think it's today because they lined up a bunch of pink Cadillacs outside her funeral.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. You see? There you go. I told you, the freeway of love. That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people singing. There's a clip of Ariana Grande singing and Bill Clinton is behind her and he is looking at her like she is a snack. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Really?
I'm like, Bill, his mouth is wide open. I'm like, shut your mouth at least. The cameras are on you.
He's such a creep, this guy, man.
I think he's so funny. Good for him.
I liked him. I liked him when he was president, you know, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the way it goes. So, yeah, I got to spend some good time, quality time with my son yesterday, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we went to the beach, sat on the rocks.
What
you
beach?
Know, in Malibu.
Okay.
It's not really a beach. It's the coast, and then there's an area where there's rocks. Mm. You can sit there, and the water's right there, and it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went, ate in Venice, and came back, and it was a nice time, you know?
Yeah, it's good. Did you guys fight at all?
No, after some tension. No, we didn't fight at all.
Well, that's good.
Why would we? We don't fight, really.
I feel like you argue a lot.
No. He was just pissed that day when he had to get up and take the cat out because they were spraying the place for ants.
Sounds like a typical 24, right?
25, yeah. But, okay. Yeah. So, but he's learning. He's learning. I love him to death. All right, folks, we're going to bring on our guest right now. Let me bring up my notes. And as you can see, if you're watching Facebook Live, we have two guests in the studio. First, we're joined by Erblin Nushi. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
And tell us who you brought with you.
This is Rita Krasniche.
Rita, welcome to the show, Rita.
Thank you.
You guys are beautiful people. Where are you from?
We're from Kosovo.
Kosovo, talk to the microphone. I'll bring yours up a little bit, but go ahead.
We're from Kosovo.
Oh, Kosovo.
In Eastern Europe.
In Eastern Europe. Yes. Yeah, but what was it Yugoslavia before?
Former Yugoslavia.
Yeah. So what is it called there now?
Just Kosovo.
Just Kosovo?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the main city there?
Pristina is the capital.
Yeah, I heard these names when the war was going on and everything, but that was a long time ago. But you made a film about the Kosovo War, right? Which was in 1999?
Yes.
Right. So that's like almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you live there at the time?
Yes, I was there when I was 6.
Uh-huh.
And I, just like everybody else there, I became a refugee. And that's what the film is about. It's about the day that my family and I became refugees.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's intense.
That's intense, huh? So you'll tell us the story and everything, but tell us a little bit about the film itself. It's called Beanie?
Yes.
Okay, what does that mean?
It's my childhood nickname.
Oh.
Yeah, from Erblin to Beanie.
Yeah, Erblin to Beanie. Well, that's okay. My nickname is kind of like unrelated to my, you know.
Well, it's related. It's just that usually it's Beanie, but my family decided to drop the L.
Right.
Be cool.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Do other people have that nickname?
Yes, usually for a different name, though.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's why it's unusual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then people remember it, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very cool. And Rita, so you're from Kosovo, too?
Yep.
And, yeah, you need to get close. Let me bring up your
mic. I figured.
Because you're taller.
I know.
There you go. And Rita, when did you come here to the U.S.?
I just moved to L.A.,
Four days ago.
Wow.
Welcome. From Europe?
Yeah, from Kosovo.
Really?
From Pristina.
Have you lived anywhere else before?
No, only in Pristina.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, your English is excellent, obviously. Okay. How did that come about for you?
Well,
Watching
I'm
movies
from
and listening.
Americans, and I always watched movies with no subtitles, and I always liked accents. So I used to have a Texas accent, but now I got rid of it.
Are you serious? Yeah, why did you watch a lot of Southern movies?
I used to
watch
this show called Justified, and I liked it very much, and I loved the accent, and I got stuck with it. And then for two years, God. Everybody was like, "You're not even from Texas. What are you doing? Why are you talking like that?" And I was like, "Oopsie!" And then I had to like get rid of it.
That's
but it
funny.
Does come out sometimes.
That's funny. Yeah. I wish I could learn accents. I'm so terrible.
Well, move to a new country.
I know. God, no. Never leaving America ever. Yeah, never.
She knows better.
I'll visit another country. That's about it.
Yeah. So you never been here before either?
Never to LA. I've been to New York and Washington.
Oh, okay. So what made you want to move here? The Hollywood, pretty much?
Well, kind of. I'm starting school in September. Mm-hmm. I'm going to attend New York Film Academy for film and media production to get my master's degree.
Nice.
So, they only had it here in LA, so I was like, well, LA it is then.
Yeah. So that's good. That's a pretty big chance, though, right?
It is. It's really big, and this school is known for networking a lot, so that's what I'm trying to do there.
Cool. Very nice. Now, Erblin, when did you come out here?
8 years ago now.
8 years ago?
Yeah.
So was that like, so you guys were refugees, and we'll get to that in a moment, and then you moved, you came here, did you come here as refugees?
No, we actually moved back to Kosovo.
Oh.
So yeah, the Serbian forces kicked us out of Kosovo, and then NATO liberated us and America, thanks to Bill Clinton. And we went back to Kosovo.
Yeah.
And I lived there until I was 19. So I went through high school and everything.
Right.
And then I moved here in 2010 through the green card lottery.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Really? So you won the lottery.
Yeah.
You see, how lucky
That's
can you get?
That's crazy that they have a lottery for green cards.
Well, they do, you know, because everybody wants to come here. That's what I keep saying, you know. Wow. Where's the best place in the world to live? Look where everybody's going, right? There you go. So, Rita, even if you get discouraged sometimes by L.A., it's a tough town. Keep at it, you know.
I work as a,
or eat you up alive. No,
I work as an assistant director, so nothing really can discourage me.
Yeah, that's
right.
True, right?
I work a lot. Yeah. So I'm fine. I'm safe here. Don't worry.
Wow. So the film, is that a feature film or a short film?
Right now, it's a short film.
Right.
Hopefully, knock on wood, it'll be a feature film after all of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was my thesis for my undergrad, and I went to George Mason University.
Uh-huh.
I studied film.
Really?
Concentration.
And where's that university?
It's in Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh,
it's
wow.
a state school, and we have a really young film program. It's been around for only 10 years. And I, once I came to America and lived the American dream, I realized how hard it is. I was gonna move to LA a lot. I've been trying to move for the past 6 years, and then I said, you know what, let me just, while I'm here with my parents and I have that support, go to school here locally, and then move.
Right.
And I think it was the best decision I made because
awesome.
I had that support from my family.
Right.
And the school ended up being very good.
Really?
How
did you end up in that school, out of those schools?
It's like right on the background. I mean, in the backyard.
Right.
Everybody says that because like all the kids that live in that area.
Uh-huh.
They're like, we don't want to go to that school because it's like right there. They want to move away from their family.
Right, right.
And it has that reputation, but also it's a school where a lot of government majors go because it's Fairfax, Virginia. It's only 20 minutes away
from
D.C.
Right.
So like people are almost guaranteed to get a job in government
right.
after that. So they have great programs for that. But then they also have a very good program for arts.
Right.
Theater has been like one of their main arts programs because theater is also second in U.S. in D.C.
Uh-huh.
after Broadway.
Really?
Yeah, they have a really big theater community in D.C. So when I heard about the film program, I was like, why not try it out?
Yeah.
And my mom always used to say, like, just go to Mason because a lot of my family members, I've had family here for over 30 years in America, and most of them are in Virginia. a lot of my cousins went to George Mason
for
different majors. And I said, why not try it out? It's state school. It's a lot cheaper.
Right. So you lived in the area. I mean, you lived there, right? So
yeah, I lived right there.
Yeah. Very cool. So is that the first place you guys landed when you came here?
Virginia. We lived in Alexandria, and then I just kind of moved around a lot. But my parents moved with my brother in D.C.
Right.
He's been here ever since right after the war.
Oh, wow.
He's the one that moved here right after the war.
Now, how did you decide on where, or your parents, how did they decide where you're going to live? Because, you know, Virginia is not like one of these places, the first place people go to, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. No, trust me, I've had that question. Like, why here?
Why there, right?
Why here? Well, it was because my brother was there. My brother was in D.C. And him and his wife were already established in D.C. And then my uncles lived in the DMV area.
Right.
We wanted to come. It was a fresh new start for us. So, like, having family, it's a lot easier.
Right.
So I think that's what, you know, the logical thing to do was to move there where we have family.
Right, right. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And did you discover your love for theater and stuff early on in your life?
Yeah, I was 10, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. And it was because I used to go see my sister performing. Sister, who was also in the film, Fiola Nushi, she was an actress before me, and I used to go see her perform at the local theater in Kosovo, and I just loved the theater, and then I decided to start taking classes since I was 10.
Right.
So, I went on an acting path for a while, and then once I moved to America, I did a lot of community theater and, like, theater in the area, but I realized how hard it was, and I was, like, at a really weird age. Right. I was, like, 19, and I didn't really look young enough for, like, young parts, and then I didn't look old enough for older parts. So it was really hard to be cast, and Netflix didn't exist.
Yeah.
'Cause, like, now they have all these shows with young people in them. But, so then I discovered I wanted to make my first film. Because I was like, I'm not getting any parts, so let me make my own. And once I screened that for the first time, the response that I was getting from the audience was the same as, you know, being an actor.
Really?
Even more, because it was something that I was telling.
Right,
like, it was
right.
A story that I wrote and put out there. Yeah. And
was that Beanie?
No,
that was something else.
It was 10 films ago.
Oh, really?
Beanie is the 10th.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been busy.
Yeah, since 2013.
Wow, yeah. Very cool.
But the past 2.5 years have been like where I've taken it seriously with school and, like, you know, and like collaborating, because before it was all my own.
Yeah, yeah. It's hard to make big projects by yourself, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, you need a lot of funding.
You need people. What about you? Have you had any affinity for the theater, like to
act play
in the theater? Yeah.
No.
No, not at all.
Movies, yeah. Theater, no.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Theater takes a special person, too.
Yeah.
But most actors say they started in theater, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, theater will always be one of those things that's my passion.
Yeah.
There's nothing that replaces theater. And it's a different, like, game.
Did we talk about this yesterday?
Yeah.
We did, right?
Theater a little bit.
Yeah.
We did.
I'm like, does this... Because we had, like, we were talking about, would we want to go see a play?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about Hamilton or something. Yeah. That's true. So, so you made 8 films already. Wow, we'll talk about them,
10.
Too.
10, yeah.
10 films.
God, yeah. A horrible memory.
I'm telling you,
see,
right?
See, can't remember what mimosas, can't remember the amount of films.
I don't listen to anything.
I started my very first film, which was called Black, and it's about a kid who's losing his mom to cancer. And he is so, he comes from an abusive family, so he is so fascinated with his mom that he starts dressing up like her because she's gone and he misses her.
Wow.
He turns into her because of the resemblance.
That sounds like the most depressing movie.
everybody cried.
Not every movie's supposed to be happy.
I was like, oh my God.
It's been like that ever since. Wait till you see Beanie. But I found a way to tell real stories, very personal. And mm-hmm. Once I got that reaction from people, I wanted to be known as an artist for that. And just, you know, giving out messages and through my films mm-hmm. and hopefully helping people to change something about themselves, or like, you know, I usually say like my films come from a place of like very, very dark experiences in my life.
Right.
And hopefully it'll help people, you know, to not hurt themselves. Or
yeah.
Others.
Yeah. Not everything is right. happy. You yeah. know, I mean, yeah. people go through shit all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I'm fascinated with Beanie, and we'll give it its own time. But I want to get a little bit of background and stuff now. So what year were you born?
I was born in 1992.
92. So you were like, what, 7 or something?
6. When Six, the war 7? Happened, yeah.
Wow. And that was some war, right? How long did it last?
Well, there was a tension for years, but right. the actual war started in 1998, and it ended end of summer 1999.
I see.
When we were actually extracted from the country, it was March of 1999. And
right.
so, like, it was short for us, but it was traumatic.
Right. What do you mean extracted from the country? What
we were just expelled.
Expelled?
Yeah, it was ethnic cleansing.
Wow.
That is insanity.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine something like that happening in right. America right now. I'd right. be like, what? Because everyone's like mixed race, too. Like, how do you even categorize?
Like, where do you go?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, where would someone like me go?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they're like all black people, I'm like, well, I'm black, but my mom's white, so I'm going to go ahead and hang out with my mom for a while.
Go to Florida.
Yeah. Shit, they tell so you, crazy. Well, you got a problem, girl.
Yeah, like even when I watch movies like Schindler's List, like back in school, I'm like, I can't believe something like this actually happened.
Right, right.
And like people were like okay with it, or like didn't try. Because if you think about it, I feel like, and as awful as it sounds, I feel like the people that were getting killed and murdered off, that they outnumbered the people that were trying to kill them. So they just yeah. don't know how it lasted so long.
Well, because the
resources.
No, not the lesser people. The one with the less people.
Right.
Okay, the side with the less people have more power because they're military.
Yeah,
and shit
true.
Like that, you know, that was like with the Nazis and stuff, you know, so you can understand that. But were you witness to some of the atrocities and stuff
yeah.
that was going on? Really?
Yeah.
You saw people being killed and stuff?
I didn't see people being killed.
But you saw the trauma on families? And
yeah, no,
like,
we were all taken to the city square, like literally kicked out of our homes. Well, my house, we left because we got a phone call that they're taking people out by force. And also because my dad worked with Doctors Without Borders.
Uh-huh.
So some of the militia army, they would track people that worked for foreign organizations and created a list so uh-huh. that if your name was on that list, that meant that they're coming to get you and kill you.
Wow.
And my dad's name was on that one of those lists, but luckily one of our neighbors was Serbian and they had intel, and they told my mom that my dad was on the list, so we left.
Right.
My dad left earlier and went to my aunt's house, and we got separated. So for days, me and my dad and my brother, because they would also get the older sons,
right,
they wanted to get rid of the men,
right.
And my brother was like 2 feet tall, and he was only 18, but yeah, he left with my dad, and then for days we were separated, and then we met at the city square when they rounded us up. And it was like over 40,000 people in the square.
Terrifying,
yeah,
say
it was
the least.
It was crazy because like I'm this tall and right. like all these people, and then it's how it happens in the film, not quite 40,000 people, but like I in a smaller scale, and then they brought trucks, like animal trucks,
uh-huh.
and they would just throw people in them until they could not fit anymore,
right,
and then close them up because they were like covered in tarps, and then the square in my hometown, Peja, it's like it has two roads. One of them goes to Montenegro and one of them goes to Albania. And we were on the road that went to Albania. But we didn't know because we also had heard that a lot of those trucks would go to ditches they dug up.
Oh my God.
Throw the people, shoot them, and close them up.
Right, right.
So we went in those trucks with that in our head. I was sick, so I was protected from all of that. But now when I interviewed people and did research for the movie, I knew why my sister was screaming. And, you know, yelling, they're taking us to the hole.
Wow.
But yeah, it's the reason how I started writing the script is because I have those flashbacks.
And yeah.
I remember the like bits and pieces of the ride because it was 6 hours in that truck with no air, full of people.
Yeah.
And I always get flashbacks.
Yeah. Imagine. Yeah. Probably have a little PTSD or something from all that, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, can you imagine how traumatic it is?
No, I can't.
For a kid, you know? I mean, my God, you don't even understand what's going on, you know?
That's like what Trump is doing right now.
Right.
So
what do you mean?
That's like basically what he's doing with children that are children and family. So let's not, let's just remember that. Every time you defend him, okay?
No. That's a whole different discussion.
No, it sounds pretty similar.
No. That's a different discussion, but we're not going there.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Sounds like Trump.
Well, okay, a lot of things sound like Trump, but it's never get to the point where you're going to take people and get them killed, you know? And the situations are totally different. These people know where they're coming. They know where they're breaking the law, and they come anyway. So, you know, I don't know about comparing it, but let's not take away from that situation, you know?
We're used to it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's somewhat true in a sense, like what's happening in the world right now. Like she was saying earlier, like it's, you know, can't even imagine that happening
like
here.
Separating.
But it's happening in Syria. It's happening everywhere. Like families being torn apart. And,
right.
Leaving their country because there's something happening there and they're not happy there. And, you know, like you said earlier, like everybody wants to come here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We see it in the films. We see it on TV. You know, everybody living a full, happy life and being free. Mm-hmm. We don't have that in those countries where we come from. Like, you know, we always like I can speak for my people, like we were always under somebody else.
Right.
Whether it was the Turks or the Serbs, Russians, like for many, many years, we couldn't speak Albanian. Like I know even my brother's generation, the reason why he knows Serbian is because they were forced to learn it in school. Mm. But in my dad's time, if they saw you with an Albanian book, they would beat you up.
Really?
And and they would burn the books and all that. Like, yeah, so we lived under tension for many, many years.
Right.
And you can imagine, like, that happening to people now. That's why they want to come here.
Right.
It's part of why I made the film now is because, I was also graduating, but I was like, it's the right time to speak about this topic.
Right, right.
There's a refugee crisis everywhere.
Yeah.
Now,
Rita, have you witnessed some of that stuff too growing up?
Yep.
In Kosovo and stuff. So did you guys like grow up in the same city, right?
No. I lived in Pristina.
Oh, in Pristina.
You lived in the capital. No. I lived in
Peja. Right, right. Now, so this is fascinating to me. So you just came here 4 days ago.
Yep.
Did you guys know each other before?
We met. Because we worked together on his film, so.
Oh, which one? On Beanie?
Yes.
I see. And you filmed it over there, right?
Yes.
So that's where you met over there.
Yeah.
And you came on board as what?
As an assistant director.
Oh, really?
And trying to help with everything. That
yeah. So did you direct it? I mean, obviously you wrote the film and produced it.
Yeah,
so
I wrote and directed it.
Right.
And I went to Kosovo and I scouted for people and talent, and I wanted my idea was I brought four people with me, three students and my professor who was also my producer, Lisa Thrasher. I went there because I wanted to make it with people from there,
right?
And
right.
I wanted
make
it to
it
be authentic.
Yeah,
I wanted it to be where it happened.
Right.
Um, And, you know, I did get questions from here, like donors and stuff, like, do you have to film it there? And I was like, yeah, because you can't really replicate what's right there.
And you have to do it in that language too, right?
Right.
Like the movie.
In Albanian, yeah.
Yeah, it can't be in English or anything because then it doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it just would be, it wouldn't be realistic.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I sometimes when I watch those films, a lot of Holocaust films, like...
It's all in English.
It's all in English. And, like, and yeah, it just takes you out of it.
Yeah, it takes you out of this.
Because it's like, you know, like... An accent can only go so far.
Right, yeah. Mean, yeah. All the bad guys are British accents.
Yeah. Like, there's been, like, a bunch of movies about Nazis, but, it, like, no one has, like, a German accent. Like,
right.
I know George Clooney did, what is it, Inglourious Basterds?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't remember not a single
one. No, Inglourious Basterds was, what's his name?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, yeah.
The other one was The Goats something, no? Or no, those were like the people that were still on the art.
Yeah.
Right? That was Germans.
That was
stuff.
George Clooney, right?
Right.
I don't remember the name of that one.
I know. But at any rate, so you joined this. Give us a little background on you. So how did you become an assistant director? Did you go to school film and stuff?
Yeah, I just graduated this summer. I've been to the Academy of Arts back in Kosovo for film and TV directing.
Really?
And during school, I started working as well. So I was basically in the industry. So
right.
I just finished shooting a TV show where I was an assistant director. And then the director referred me to him so that I can help him with this film.
Oh.
So that's why we got in contact. But back home, yeah, I had to like do six films and graduate, and I did make an industry film, which is outside school.
Right.
We're gonna start PRing soon enough. It's a war film as well.
Right.
It involves only women. I'm trying to be like the feminist that I am.
Yeah.
And
a little closer to the mic, though.
No, sorry. Yeah. And the reason why I worked this guy because I loved the script, and when I read it, I just it was very fascinating to know that somebody else close to my age actually went through this, that I know, and like, we
right.
can talk about it. Because my experience wasn't the same with Erblen. We actually had to sneak out of the house and just like go straight to Macedonia, which I remember my dad carrying me, and I was like smiling, and he was like, no, you have to pretend like you're sick so that I can get you out of the country very safe. And I was like, but I can't. And then he put a hat on my face. And my brother got very sick, and he had to hold both of us, and it was just like a mess. And
yeah,
like, oh my
what
God,
an experience, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, we're gonna portray this, and actually, it's technically an American film if you look at it that way. And I was like, oh my God, you know, a lot of Americans are actually gonna watch this and know exactly what happened back then, because I've had a lot of people coming up to me, and they're like, is this, like, that's what happened?
Right.
You know, are you sure? I was like, well, yeah. You know, we're not making things up. That's why I, like, worked with them. We had a blast making it.
Really?
Yeah.
And how long did it take to make it, the film?
So the actual filming of it took 5 days.
Uh-huh.
I feel like every film person comes in here and says, like, the smallest amount of time to film. And I'm like, what? You did that whole movie in, like, 3-4 days.
Yeah.
But it's, like, long-ass days, right? Like, 20 hours a day or something.
It's, yeah, like, 16-hour
yeah.
days.
And
yeah.
then a lot of post-production.
Mm-hmm.
That's
everything
what I
else
was
is
gonna,
long, right?
I was going to get into that. I'm still working on the film. I mean, this is work for me on the film
right
now.
Yeah.
It just never stops.
Really?
You keep
improving it and tweaking it.
Right.
So when is it being released then?
It's in film festivals right now.
Oh,
and
okay.
I actually have a screening in D.C. next week on the 8th. Actually, three screenings, 8th, 10th, and 13th, if anyone in the East Coast
congratulations.
Wants to come see
That's
it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Are you going to have any here?
I just had one here last week or August 19th. 17th at the Holly Shorts Film Festival.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it screened at the Dolby Theater, like the Chinese theaters, which is like a dream for every
it
filmmaker.
It is.
No, that's a big deal. They usually have
right.
movie premieres and stuff at the Chinese theater. So.
Yeah, like it was just such a great experience, and like the festival was so welcoming, and like it. That's when I realized that I had made something that has an impact on people, because I only shared it ever with the school when I had the premiere in my school for my graduation, which was a great response as well. Like everybody was like, oh my God. But then for a while it was just kind of you know, trying to break into a festival.
Yeah.
And just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then I thought, you know, people, I guess, don't care about refugee films. Like, I was just so...
It was so sad because he was keeping me updated with what was going on with festivals. And he was like, I didn't get this one. You know, we didn't get in. I was like, you know, just wait. It's something great is coming.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's DC Shorts and Holly Shorts. And then he's like, wow, I'm getting nominated for like a Student Academy Award. I was like, well, you see, you know,
Yeah, you know.
It was actually sad because a big festival back home didn't accept his film. And I was like, how dare you?
Yeah, right?
Like my own people.
It's probably too real, maybe.
Yeah. No, it's... But it takes that one person to see your film.
Right.
Yeah.
And now everybody, my team and everyone is like, how did we not get into all this other stuff, but we are in the Academy now?
Right.
I'm so honored and I'm so happy because that has opened so many doors for me started the conversation and the whole country, if they haven't heard about the film before, now everybody wants to see me and they all reach out and they're like, how can we see it?
Right.
And I'm like, to me, that's success as a filmmaker because you want your work to be seen.
Right. Yeah.
And if people now want to see it, I'm like, that's it. Like, I don't even need to win at a festival or anything. For me, it's like that's the success because people want to see and talk about it.
Right.
But yeah, it took literally over 50 rejections and then I got the notice from the Student Academy Awards and I was like, oh my God. And then
that's cool, man. Yeah. That's very cool. You know, I really congratulate you for that, you know.
Thank you.
I mean, it's when you get the recognition from your peers and everything, it's like, you've done something good, you know?
It was insane, like, coming after the screening at Holly Shorts. Like, people were talking about it prior to it because of the Student Academy nomination.
Right.
They're like, we know it's good. But when they saw it, to actually have people from other films come up and say that, oh, my God, your film was the best.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was overwhelming.
Yeah,
I actually ended up in the urgent care, like, after the festival because I was like, I didn't know how to deal with all this stuff. Like, people now all of a sudden, after a whole year of me making the film, now I'm getting all the attention.
Right.
And it was just, like, overwhelming.
Right.
I was like, oh, my God, stop. Like, don't tell me.
like, tell me it all.
Yeah.
Tell me again, actually.
Tell me again.
Record this, please, so I can listen to it later.
Yes.
That's good, though.
Nice. So, Rita, back to you. So, did you come alone or with your family?
No, just you. Yeah, just me.
And your family's still back there, right?
No, back home.
Yeah. And everything. You don't have any relatives out here in the States?
No.
Really?
I don't.
Wow.
It's just me.
So you're...
Me? No.
Yeah.
Yeah,
But obviously, you're pretty courageous. I mean, to take a step like that, move to another country.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've never been here before. And
well, no, it was always a dream to come and live in the States, not in L.A., in New York. But then I was like, let's try L.A., and I actually love it here.
Yeah, I mean, you can't compare this to New York, you know?
No.
Like I said a million times, I love visiting New York, but I could never live there.
I hate visiting New York.
What?
I think the guys are super hot, and, like, the shopping is cool, but, like, there's just too many people.
There's a vibe to it. Like, people, there's just something about, like, collectively going out and, like, it could be a beat down bar and people still have a good time.
Yeah.
Like, there's a vibe to it.
Right.
Like, no matter what time, there's still, but, like, the lifestyle, always on the go. Like,
traffic,
I would tell people
beeping.
I would tell people, like, when I sat on that train ride, because I lived there for 4 months, I tried it out and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I would see a virtual representation of depression in the train.
Really?
Like,
because
it was literally everybody down. Like, and I was like, oh my God.
I would be depressed if I was on the train too, though.
I was like, are you okay? Like,
maybe I have a problem because I love that.
Yeah. Oh, you like going on the train?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, no, I hate it. I'm like, I don't know you. You're too close. You smell. Like, I can't do it. No. And
they cleaned it up, but I guess not the people. They haven't cleaned up the people.
And I was telling him yesterday, public transportation is scary as fuck because there's actually, like, nothing, there's, like, no protocol. Like, someone could literally walk into a subway or a train with a bomb and there ain't shit you can do.
Yeah,
but like nobody's doing it, which right? Is not knock on wood. Let's yeah. knock on wood
don't
that nobody's.
Idea
I know. I hate to say it out loud because I don't want anyone to get an idea. But if no. you think about it, like you can get on a Greyhound bus and go from like LA to Vegas, and they don't even check the bags that they're throwing underneath the bus. They're just like, "Yep, hop on the bus." Right. Same
that's
with the subway.
Travel with a coach. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Safer. Yeah. Yeah. So. We only have about 9 minutes left, and I want to cover the film. Tell us a little bit about the story. What really is the overall story? And this is about the family. I saw in the trailer, you see a mom and the kids and stuff.
Basically,
right?
You.
Basically, me and my mom trying right. to reconnect with my dad and find rejoining the family.
Right. So where was your dad when you guys were trying to?
He was at my aunt's house hiding out.
Oh,
my brother.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you were looking to find him and.
Yeah, because like remember that time we didn't have cell phones.
Right.
So like if you weren't at home and you know we only had home phones and right. you missed that call, you didn't know who was where,
right?
Like no internet, nothing. Like I was lucky because my uncle was in America, and when we actually got to the refugee camps in Albania, he tracked us down.
Really?
Because yeah, like again, like we didn't have a means of communication, like right. and he had to find us and because like thousands of people were in the camp. But yeah, like the film is about that day and how my family and I became refugees. But I wanted to add a side story to it, and which is the relationship between him and his sister.
Oh.
And his fascination over this candy. Right. And candy was part of my memory because it was supposed to be Eid, which is a religious holiday the next day. Before the extraction happened, right. And I remember going to the store and buying a lot of candy and stuff for the holiday,
right.
And I just know when we got home and everything shifted, we got that phone call that we have to leave. I remember leaving and not bringing any of the candy.
Right.
And
right.
my whole childhood, I was like, why didn't we take all that stuff? Like, I remember coming back to home and literally everything was gone.
Yeah.
Our
yeah.
house I was supposed to say, what empty. Happened when you, like, were like, hey, you guys can come back now?
So we went back and a lot of the houses were burned down. A lot of the houses.
Like, what's the point of that, though? Like, why are you going to ruin property?
They wanted, like, once they dropped us off at the border, they took all of our documents and everything and they ripped it and burned it because right. they wanted our identity to be wiped out.
Exactly. They want to wipe them out, you
yeah.
know?
It literally sounds like the Holocaust.
Like he called ethnic cleansing. They feel like we want to clean, you know, the country off of people that are not like us, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
I remember when we came home, uh-huh. it was so fascinating. I used to love Pocahontas and The Lion King, and we right. had the video cassettes.
Right.
Uh-huh. We went back, and they stole them, and they put this big hole, I think it was a big machine gun, that they tore the wall down.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, Dad, what's that? And he's uh-huh. like, oh, a bee stung through it. And I'm like, look what happened. And
when I grew up,
I was like, Dad, you know that was like, I don't know, like AK-47 or
yeah.
something. He's like, shut up.
Yeah, we had a lot of VHS tapes from, my dad was always into technology and he had a camera. So I think that's where it may have started into my roots.
Of course.
Right, probably.
We filmed every moment, like, you know, as a baby, I had like me first time walking, dancing, all of that stuff. Most of it is unfortunately gone. And it was because in my house, luckily it was not burned, but it was because it was a base for the soldiers.
Yeah.
And they lived there, and it was actually one of those bases where they kept dogs too, because when we came back we found boxes and boxes of meat, so they fed the dogs. And the soldiers, I guess when they were bored, they would take our VHS tapes, our home videos, and they would record over them, like you know, singers singing like all Serbian stuff,
right?
And literally, like now, when I go, I have some of them. Like you're watching me as a baby, and then all of a sudden, like some random person comes up singing because they recorded over them.
Right.
And also, the walls were covered in like posters and like porn and stuff that soldiers used eggs to like
stick them to the wall.
Yeah, wow. They just did whatever they wanted to the houses. Destroyed. You couldn't recognize the city when you went back because half of it was burned.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, imagine growing up as a kid in that. You know, it's unbelievable.
Like I think about the fear. I think 9/11 was like the most traumatic thing I had to witness, and that wasn't even right. I wasn't even in New York. That was just like something I saw.
And still have a hard time getting over it, but imagine like being in it.
That's what I'm saying. Like I've never I hear these type of stories, and I'm like really have nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
Like nothing to complain about.
Exactly. You know, all the kids here are so spoiled.
Like we really are though, in the sense of it. Like we get upset about like our parents not getting us candy like for Halloween or telling us we can only have like two pieces before we go to bed, let alone somebody coming into our house and eating it all for themselves. So they probably did eat your candy, piece of shit.
They get a cell phone when they're 4 years old, and you know.
Yeah, now honestly, we complain about technology, but it really does like I wouldn't want to be walking to my car in the middle of the night without a cell phone.
But imagine most of, humans. Most of their lives have not had that kind of communication.
I know, but it made life more difficult.
It did, but, you know.
Like, I have such a weird, like, relationship with technology where I love it for the things that it does for us. Right. And, like, you know, connecting us. And, like, you know, we had, connection with people here that we had, family. We would have never had that without technology.
Like, FaceTime, Skype.
Right. But it has put us in such a virtual world where, like, it has put us apart.
Mm-hmm.
Whether like before we were like so much closer to one another and like we actually did things together.
We had this conversation yesterday because I was on the elevator and it was super awkward. So like me and the other person that were in the elevator just like kind of both looked at our phones, and I was like, back in the day, if we didn't have these, we probably would have had like a nice conversation on the elevator.
Right, like
especially slow one. Like, we were such a slow elevator.
Right.
Yeah.
But like I remember growing up, like playing outside with a ball all day long.
It's so funny. Do you remember that time when we taught the young kids that were starring in the film how to jump the rope?
Really?
They didn't even know how to jump the rope because I have a scene.
Are you serious?
I have a scene, and it's exactly tied to this conversation. We had a scene in the film where they play rope. Because that's part of my childhood, and I wanted that in.
Right.
And I had these kids that were like 9, 10, 12, and they didn't even know how to turn the rope. I was like, what? That's so simple. They were like, we had to have a little workshop for them to do that scene. And I was like, I cannot believe. Yeah. And it's because there's a generation of games
iPads
on the phone and
Fortnite,
iPads. And
Fortnite, video games. Like, that's what people are doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Let's go ahead and give plugs to you and the movie. So now, can people see it if they want to? I mean, you said in Washington, right?
Right now in Washington. And the great thing about DC Shorts is they also have a online version of the festival. So you can still purchase a ticket but see the films online if you can't be in DC.
Nice.
So, yeah, just go to dcshorts.com, I think. And then if you look up Beanie, it's so easy to find because it's, right at the top of the list.
Right.
And it has 3 showcases if you're in the East Coast. But if not, you have the opportunity to see it online.
Yeah. Very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to you. And
thank
I mean,
you.
That's amazing. And Rita, you obviously, if this film is good, you had a lot to do with it, too.
No, well, you know.
She's like,
she
yes.
did. We honestly had such a great team, and we say this all the time. Every time I talk to somebody, I'm like, it's because we were all working together so closely and having a good time, and everybody wanted to make a good film.
Mm-hmm.
It's why it's being rewarded now.
Right.
It's not because it's we really pushed it with some big marketing push. None of that. It just came to the right person at the right time, and they saw that, you know, we all did a good job on it.
Right.
So what's next?
What's next? So I just moved here too. It's only been 3 months. I'm in LA.
Yeah.
I am hoping to make the film into a feature, but I think because there's so many stories and once I interviewed people, I think the right platform for it would be a series because there's just so many intricate things. Like everybody went through the same thing, but they all have their
different
stories and they all went in different directions,
right?
Which would make a great series to follow everybody. And it's gonna take a shift like in the focus.
Right.
It's going to be a love story actually for the series, really? Because my sister kept a diary the whole journey, mm-hmm. and I have that.
And she fell in love.
She saw her husband now for the first time during our escape.
Right.
Like
right.
while we were jumping a wall, like she saw this guy, wrote about him.
Right.
Years later, they married.
Oh, wow.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, well, guys, we're totally over time. Tell people how they can find you, social media.
So for my films, Telia Entertainment, Instagram.
You need to spell that.
Telia, T-I-L-I-A,
okay.
Entertainment. And then that's for Facebook as well. And then for Twitter and just my personal stuff. And I've been posting a lot on my personal now. It's just Erblin Nushi, Erblin Nushi.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. And Rita?
Yeah. For me, it's Rita Krasnichi in Facebook. Okay. And for Instagram, which are totally personal, it's Ritulino.
Okay.
I was like, oh.
Well, you'll find her tagged in a lot of my stuff. Exactly. So, yeah.
Okay, that's where you're. Yeah. It's not like your name is any easier for Americans, but.
Just look up Beanie short film and yeah, literally yeah. everything will come up.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
You're full of stories and everything, and you're young, so you still have a lot ahead of you. And we hope to see a movie. Everybody, check out Beanie. And yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
us. All right. Much success to you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And oh, there's the camera. I never talked to the camera, but I figured thank you all for listening. And have a great weekend. Actually, we have Labor Day, so it's a long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be here on Monday, as neither will the listeners, I'm sure. But we'll see you all on Tuesday. So take care.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.